weeks before we're able to have everybody back in. All right, Acts chapter 2 tonight. Looking at one verse in Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to spend a lot of our time tonight in Romans chapter number 1. I don't think it's any secret, really, to look at, and that our culture that we live in has a serious problem, very serious problem. Some of that was on display today in our nation's capital, but that is no secret that we have literally a crooked and twisted culture that we live in. And tonight, the question is this: how do we reach a culture so twisted, a culture so corrupted, a culture so depraved with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You can do it. And the Lord can change to make any crooked path straight. That's the glory of the gospel. That's the glory of Jesus Christ, and that he can save a soul from that. But how do we approach people? How do we approach the culture that we live in? There are a couple extremes. There's always extreme to one side or the other. There's the isolationist extreme that, well, we live in such a pagan and awful culture that we just need to isolate ourselves. We don't need to bring anyone into our church that's worldly. We don't need to have outreach because they're going to reject it anyway. And it's us four no more. We're going to pull our ears in and batten down the hatches and put the fire doors down and wait for the Lord to come back. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of churches die, by doing that. That's not what the Bible says, that we're in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in it. We have to live and work with people. We have to live with lost neighbors. We have to work with lost people at our work. We have to live with lost family members at times. We have to live in this world. But then the other extreme is, well, in order to reach the culture, you got to become like it. That's why we have the drum sets and the rock and roll on the stage of the church. Now we have preachers that have long hair and man buns and wear flip-flops and sandals to church and all of that. Incorporating the fads and the culture into the church, that's not the answer either, because our culture is twisted and corrupt, and all it's going to do is corrupt the truth of God. So tonight, we see that even in the time of the apostles in Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at, this is at the end of Peter's sermon on Pentecost, how he was preaching to the Jewish nation, how he was preaching the gospel, was preaching to them Jesus, and how they had murdered the Messiah and crucified the Messiah, in that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the one that was promised. And so we see that they were pricked in their hearts. We look at verses 38 and 39, and they said, what must we do? We'll look at verse number 39 for a moment. Verse 38. And then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 40, and with many other words, now this is important, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself from this untoward generation. What was going on in Israel at that time? That their culture had been twisted by man, had the truth had been twisted, what was acceptable in the eyes of God had been twisted, salvation had been twisted. And so he told them to keep yourselves, to look out, to protect yourself from this untoward generation. Before we begin the lesson or the message tonight, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to keep ourselves from this untoward generation that we're living in, this culture that we're living in. Just as in every generation that's ever lived has their battles to fight, Lord, we have many. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would equip us and empower us to fight these battles, not to lay down the sword and say, well, I can't do it, but Lord, to stand in the power of your might and to stand in the power of your word and to reach this lost world in battle against the evil one. I pray that you would give me the words to say tonight and that you would give clarity to these thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the message entitled, Reaching a Twisted Culture. Now I want us to look at verse number 40 and pay attention to a couple of things here. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this two-word generation. Now, the word on two-word is a very interesting word. It means crooked. It's interesting, the Greek word is the only time this Greek word is used in the whole New Testament, the only time this word is used on two-word, and that it's the Greek word scolios, where we get the word scoliosis from. You know what scoliosis is? It is a spine condition where your spine is curved and crooked. You can have a mild case of it, which maybe cause a little pain, but if you have a severe case of it, it can cause paralysis, breathing problems. So what it's talking about here is that a generation that thinks that they are doing the right thing, but in reality they have been corrupted and crooked. The culture of Israel at that time was crooked, and that they could not salvage anything from it. That's very important. They couldn't salvage the doctrine, couldn't salvage the spiritual truths, but that to keep yourself from it, don't incorporate this culture into what we're telling you right here. We're telling you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't incorporate what's going on right now in Israel into what's going on right now at Pentecost. The church that is to come, you cannot bring that. It's crooked. It will corrupt, and that's exactly what Paul fought against at Galatia and with the Ephesians. The Judaizers were the ones that incorporated the crooked doctrine and the crooked culture of Judaism at that time into the gospel and into the Christian life. So this is a proclamation, an admonishment from Peter to those people there to safeguard themselves against that particular culture and generation that they were living in. This instruction is very important for us in reaching our community with the gospel, because we need to reach our culture without incorporating the culture that we live in into our Christian lives. And that can be difficult. Worldliness creeps in everywhere. And the culture and the thought processes. For example, have you ever thought that maybe when you're reading your Bible, and maybe whether we like it or not, we are programmed in our culture to think different certain things. That certain things are right and wrong. Have you ever thought, and I'll just be honest here, you don't need to raise your hand, but that you read something in the Word of God. God did something. Maybe it's that, Ananias and Sapphira. And you know what? And you look at that and you see that they were killed for lying to the Holy Ghost and lying. And you look at that and say, you know, maybe isn't that a little extreme? You know, did God really have to do that? Remember this. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is always just and God is always right. And that's exactly what our culture does. We have to be careful that when we read the Bible, that we don't incorporate our culture into the Bible. Remember, the Bible wasn't written to Americans. Amen. The Bible wasn't written to the United States of America. It wasn't written to the South American culture, it wasn't written to the Asian culture, it was written to Middle Eastern culture and the Jewish culture at that time, a biblical culture. And I understand that the truths are timeless here, but there are other things we have to be careful of. We got to be careful in the Old Testament of not bringing the Old Testament culture, the Jewish culture, so much into our Christian lives. Some people believe in keeping the law. Some people believe in arranged marriages because of Jewish custom. It's okay. There are good things in every culture that do not trespass against the Bible. Okay, let me say that again. There are good things in a culture that do not trespass against the Bible. But things that are crooked and go outside the straight line and the truth, the yardstick of truth that God has in His Word, those things we must reject. We need to reach our culture, though. The world corrupts everything it touches, and here's what we must understand. There's three areas that our culture is crooked. And really, every culture that is pagan in its nature, which ours has become, unfortunately, we were founded as a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation anymore. A lot of people say that's incorrect. What I'm about to tell you will prove that we are not a Christian nation anymore, and that's sad, and that's a heartbreak. First off, tonight, we're going to look at our culture has a warped view of God. Our culture has a warped view of God. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 23. This is not a foreign passage of Scripture, but I want us to look at some of these verses. We can see the culture that we live in right now. Now, I could be talking about not only the culture of America, I could be talking about the culture of a lot of places on planet Earth, but I want it to apply to where we live right now, what's going on right now. There's a warped view of God. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, and that is important, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We'll stop there for a moment. Remember who Paul is writing to here. He is writing to the church at Rome. This is not written to Jewish people. This is written to Gentiles. This is written to a church that was started in the midst of the most pagan, corrupt, hedonistic, and multi-theistic culture that you can think of. Rome was a place of sin. Rome was a place of innumerable gods. And this is what exactly, how did they get there? Paul is writing a very important message to them. How did that culture get there? We ask the question in America today, how did we get here? Right here. This is how our country has gotten to the place where we are today. We were founded as a Christian nation, but we are not a Christian nation anymore. So I'm going to give you some statistics done by the Pew Research Count. A Pew poll, as they call it. I don't know why it's called a Pew. I think it's just the name of the person. I always thought when I was a kid, when I heard about that was a Pew Research did a poll, I said, oh, they must go to church and do it. I thought it was a Pew. Anyway, but this is what this result came out 2 years ago. So 80%, okay, here we go, 80% of people 18 and older in America believe in God. 80% believe in God. Like, wow, that sounds great. Now, that is 167,302,475 people, roughly. So about 168 million people. You may say, well, that's wonderful. Well, man, we're still a Christian nation. Wait, there's more. Now, 50% of that group say they believe in God as described in the Bible. So they don't believe in a God that's in here. They don't believe in our God. They believe in God, but they don't believe in God as he is described in the Old and the New Testaments in the Word of God. So, you know, that cuts in that number substantially. That's only 83 million people believe. Now, this is very loose, okay? This is Pew Research. We're not even getting into the gospel. We're just talking about people. We're not even people that go to church. We're just talking about people in America that believe in God as described in the Bible. Then we can get into, well, what Bible are they reading? Okay, we can narrow that down. So people that actually believe in God as he reveals himself in the Bible becomes very much in the minority in our country. That's not even including the millions of teenagers and young people under 18 that don't believe in God at all, and they're very vocal about that. So less than half of the 209 people of our country that are 18 and older that make up that demographic, only less than half believe in the God of the Bible, and that's being very broad. I think we're in trouble as a nation. Amen. We see it evidenced everywhere in our culture around us. Every place you go downtown, you go not just downtown, you just go anywhere, you see a culture that is rejecting God. Our culture has many twisted views of God. Picked up on the one of the twisted views of God this week in the House of Representatives when he said, all men and all women. You hear that. First of all, I thought he said it wrong or said, what is he saying? And then you hear it and you're like, What twisted view do you have to get that? That's not even what amen means. It's a Latin, it's a derivative of a Latin word that means so be it. It has nothing to do with men and women and all of that. But they have the gender of God. You know, we have the gender-neutral Bible, also is known as the She Bible, where it changed all the he references to God to she. Because really, it turns God into a goddess, which is what the pagans worship, is a female goddess and Satanist worship. So changing that to make him all more inclusive. Many people have twisted views of God's power, that God can't, is weak and old, a little feeble old man upstairs, that he can't handle things, and that we've outgrown the need for God. When we were simple and when we were living evolutionary-wise back in the cave time, yeah, we needed something in our simplicity, but we have evolved and we have risen above. We don't need God. Made twisted views of the reliability of God. Well, God might decide to help me today. He might not. He might decide to do this or that, which brings us into twisted views of the motives of God. That God is a manipulative puppet master that brings these things into our lives to manipulate us into doing what he wants us to do. These views are actually very common among people, among young people especially. Here's the main problem. Now, let's look at a verse here. Verse number 23. And change, of Romans chapter 1. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So this is a problem that is twofold. What this verse is talking about is two things. If you look at it quickly, you think it's just talking about making pagan idols. It is, but it's also talking about something else. When it talks about this in the first part of the verse, into an image made like to corruptible man. Now remember, this is talking about Rome at this time, and also any pagan culture for that matter, is that they took God and made false gods, made idols, but not only that, is that they either brought themselves up to the level of God or greater, or brought God down to their level. Caesar was regarded as God in the Roman time. But what we see today, instead of being like Christ, as the Bible says, right, we as Christians were to be, have the mind of Christ, to be like Christ, our culture has instead has taken God and made him as they are. That's how we get all these twisted views of God and of heaven, of all so many different things, is that they take God and they attribute human thinking, human motives, and also the sin nature onto the motives of God. And what they do is they create a God that is completely false, a false God, a false Christ, and a false gospel. Why? Because they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. And you listen to me right now, is you need to be careful of people, authors, pundits, whatever they are, that they diminish the glory of God and the power of God. And they try, and this is creeping in everywhere, in the modern thought, in the emerging church, and in the modern church, is not the God of the Bible. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. It is not the truth of the Bible. It is a twisted view of God that has come that is acceptable to our culture. It's not about being acceptable to God. It's about being acceptable to our peers, and so we don't get pressure from those around us to be acceptable. And that's exactly, if you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, anybody ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Anybody ever read that? Vanity Fair, right? Our country is Vanity Fair. Our country is any type of distraction, trinket, pleasure, anything you want, even a false god, you can have it in the United States of America today. But how do we reach people like that? How do you reach people that have a twisted view of God? How... we have to show them who God really is. through His Word. I know we've been talking a lot about this in soul winning classes we've been having. Is it, but how do you tell somebody? You give them the Bible. But what if they don't believe the Bible? Try and show them how the Bible is true. But if they won't accept the Bible, there's not much more you can do. They say, well, we hit a roadblock. Not necessarily. We'll get to this in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of my next point here. But we need to show who God really is, that He is our Creator. Because the twisted view of God is we have evolved, therefore, why does God have any right to tell me what to do? If I'm just a creature that has crawled out of the swamp and evolved from creatures that crawled out of the swamp, I don't have any accountability to God. God can't tell me what to do. That's the whole point of evolution. That's the whole point of that teaching, a humanistic teaching. The whole point of it is, hey, we don't have to worry about what God says because God isn't really there. But He's our Creator. He loves us. We see that show people how He is all-powerful. Show them from the Word of God. Many examples you can give. That He is just, that He is loving, that He is gracious and merciful, but also that He will judge sin and has prepared a way to do so. One of the twisted views of God that we see is that God doesn't care what we do. We can do anything. We can live in sodomy. We can live in sin. God doesn't care. God accepts us the way we are. That's the modern church today. But it's not true. God forgives, yes, but also God gives recompense for those people that do wrong in His eyes. If we're not equipping ourselves with the Bible tools and weapons necessary to give a true picture of who God is from His Word, then we're going to miss opportunities. Let me explain what I mean. If we just go out in generations past, by the way, I'm not criticizing this at all. Our culture was much different 50, 40, 30 years ago. Our culture is much different. Our culture still had a conscience. Our culture still had a loyalty to truth. The only reason, I agree 100% that if there was a world war, like in World War II, America probably wouldn't fight in it, unfortunately. I don't believe it would. You know why? Because there is such a loose definition of what is right and what is wrong that the generation that came before, the generations that came out of the Depression and came out of different areas of our country, even though they weren't saved, many of them, they still knew what was right and what was wrong. There was still morality in our country. There was still a fabric of what God had founded in generations past. It hadn't been torn fully apart yet. It was in tatters, but it hadn't been ripped out yet. And it was still there. And so you could talk to somebody about God, and they still had an accurate view of who God was. They knew what the Bible said. They knew that they were a sinner. They didn't have all these relative truth problems, and that you could go to somebody and show them. And yes, there were those that were rebellious and rejected, but you had a common lane of communication and knowledge that you could lead someone to Christ rather easily compared to today. So when we say God, we have an idea in our mind of who God is because we know the Bible. You say God to somebody out there, they think something completely different. They think of Him as the old, feeble guy upstairs, and you go to tell him that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. I said, oh, was He weak and feeble too? You have to show them what is real, because if you go out and you do it the same way, you're only going to reach people that still have. There's still groups of people that had that taught to them because they went to church. They know who God is. They have a knowledge of God. Maybe they even grew up in a good church, but they rejected it and get saved later. That's great, but you're going to miss. We looked at over half the people in that age range believe in the God of the Bible, and maybe half of that, 25% of that, they will have an ability to understand where you're coming from in the traditional style of how we do soul winning and reach people. That's 1 in 4. You'll lose the other 3 because they have a lot of untwisting. You got to use the Word of God to untwist. And God can do it. The Holy Spirit can do it and untwist those things. I'm not saying it's all up to us, but we do have to be able to give. And I've been preaching on this the last year or two, that we have to have some Bible knowledge to combat what is twisted in their mind. You got to know your Bible. We'll reach a very narrow group of people. less than half the people than that we meet on a daily basis. So we don't adapt our doctrine or standards to the culture around us. That's not what I'm saying. But we do need to adapt how and what we present to people who are steeped in our culture. This is Missions 101. Anytime you go around the world, you don't go soul winning the same way you do in the United States of America and Papua New Guinea or in Africa or in any other place, because the way we have a very formulaic way of soul winning here in the United States of America, you can go over to Papua New Guinea and, man, you can have a whole mess of converts. You can have hundreds, even thousands. And we think God is doing a great work. They're not saved, many of them. That's what missionaries, this is what happened about 40, 50 years ago. There was a great churches built of people, and they were doing wonderful, but you know, something began to happen. These churches began to fall apart as soon as the missionary left. And what came out is that a lot of these people were never saved to begin with because people didn't understand their culture and how they view things. Papua New Guineans are very multi-theistic, polytheistic people, and they thought, hey, they're Americans, and Americans have money. So if I do what the American wants, then Americans will do good things for me. It's like Micah in the Old Testament, not the prophet, but that he thought that God would do him good. He had a little altar in the book of Judges. He had a little altar, and he made an ephod of gold and made an idol for himself, and he thought that God would do him good. He got a Levite to be a priest, and he gave him 10 shekels in a shirt, and he thought that God would do him good. That's not how it works. You need to reach the people's heart. So you need to deal with what is in people's hearts. So first, I'm trying to get all the way through this message. I'm almost out of time here. I got 2 points to go. Number two, so we first see a warped view of God. Our culture, second, has a warped view of the truth. Has a warped view of the truth. Let's look at verses 24 through 26 of Romans 1. There, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them over unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. Of course, this is talking about sodomy. And our culture today has a crooked view of the truth, that truth is relative. What's true for me is not necessarily true for you. I have people come to church like that. So, well, we like your church and everything, but, you know, what you believe in, you know, that's true for you, but that's not true for everybody. Hello, the Bible's true for everybody. The Bible right here is universal truth. Say amen if you believe in universal truth. Amen. What that means is it's true for everybody all the time. Can't change it. And what relativism is that, well, truth is different based on your point of view. So that opens the door that you don't always have to tell the truth of what you don't have to tell someone the truth. You just tell them what they need to hear because that's the truth that they need to hear relative to them. But that's not the truth that's relative to you. Trust me, does it sound confusing? It is confusing. That there's no absolute truth. What that means is that, well, the Buddhists, they have some truth. And that doesn't mean that, you know, if I can believe the Bible, but the Hindus can believe what they believe because there's no absolutes, you know, then that opens the door to many paths to God. That, well, the Native Americans worship the Great Spirit, and that must be the God of heaven. Guess what? Just because they worship the Great Spirit, just because there's many other tribal cultures around the world and they worship some deity, doesn't mean they were worshiping God. The Egyptians sure weren't. Man, they developed their own views of God. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Rationalism. Rationalism has a couple different applications. You know, if it works, I guess if this works, then it must be true. If it gets results, it must be true. Some churches have adopted this. Well, if they do this particular thing that incorporates as part of the culture, hey, if it brings results, people come to church and people make professions. Hey, it must be the truth. It must work. Not necessarily. Not if it violates the absolute truth of the Bible. Humanism, where man, this is what it's talking about here in these verses, talking about humanism, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. Humanism, man is number one. If you do that, the Bible, as you read the Bible definitely does not portray man as number one. I think we'd all agree with that. The Bible does not portray man as the top of the heap. God is the ruler and maker and master of all things, and we are under subjection to God and under His authority. So in order to change that truth, you must create another truth, a crooked one, a humanistic one, one that is fluid and relative. So if you proclaim the Bible, so what does this have to do with the church? It has a lot to do with the church. We believe in absolute truth. We, as God's people, are narrow-minded bigots because we believe in absolute truth and only one truth, which is the Bible. We are narrow-minded, racist, sexist people because we believe what God says. Let me explain what I mean. If you proclaim what the Bible says, then you're labeled a hate monger because God does not accept sodomy. God does not accept the LGBTQ plus, whatever letters and numbers they add onto that. You know, all inclusiveness, that gender's relative. God does not accept that. Leviticus is extremely clear about that. All through the Bible, God is extremely clear. Romans 1 here is extremely clear about that. God does not accept this. It's sin. But you're narrow-minded in our culture. It's coming. You know what they're going to do is what they're trying to do is that from my saying that right there, this is where it's coming. It's already happening in the European Union. What's coming is what I'm saying there. And if someone here is in that lifestyle and they hear that or they hear it online, I am subjecting them to involuntary abuse and conversion therapy, which can land you in jail for me saying that. It's not hate speech. It's a violation of a person's medical rights and a violation if I say that. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. And so I have to decide, do I stop preaching on that or do I have the risk of going to jail? I hope it doesn't come to America. But if it's happened in Europe, what happens in Europe eventually comes here. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20. The view of truth of God and viewing it, our culture, when we say we believe in absolute truth, automatically many people will look at us with suspicion. And will, what do you mean you believe in absolute truth? What is taught today in our public schools and in our universities is relative truth. There is no absolute truth. The only real truth is what you can experience, see, and touch, and know with your mind. There really isn't any other truth besides that. Everything else is superstition. And people that believe in superstitions many times believe things that aren't so, like God created the world, that God created us, that we're accountable to a heavenly, wonderful, blessed, yet holy God. Isaiah 5:20. But this would happen in Israel. Nothing new under the sun. This happened in Israel. Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So what happens? We come to them with the sweet words of the gospel. To them, it is narrow-minded and superstition that the Bible is racist and that the Bible is full of hate. On and on we could go. So if you proclaim what the Bible says and you're labeled a hate monger, and this is what our culture is coming to, it's not just pagan. It's not just a pagan culture that worships self, that worships many other things except God. Our culture is anti-God. It's not just pagan. They fight against God, and anybody that stands for God, our culture fights against them. Do we understand that? That as a Christian person, if you want to stand for truth and reach this culture, you are going to be attacked by the culture. Because it is anti-God. So how do we reach people? Well, we must establish that God's truth is absolute, that it does not change with the times. God is outside of time, space, and even cultures. I think this makes some preachers mad. His truth is the truth for the world. It's not just the truth for the United States of America. Amen? It is the answer for America, but the Bible wasn't written to Americans. I mentioned that earlier. It wasn't written just for our culture. It was written for all people during all times, all around the world. unfortunately, some people preach like the Bible is written specifically for us. It was in the sense that we're part of the world, but it wasn't written for our culture. Romans chapter 1, let's look at verses 20 and 21. So we must establish that, the absolute truth. Second, urge people to recognize the truth of God's word that he's placed in every person. Now, I mentioned earlier, what if someone doesn't believe in the Bible? What if someone doesn't believe the Bible is true? Inside of every person, there is an acknowledgement. God has placed this inside of every person. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Romans chapter 1. God has placed inside of every person a God consciousness. Because we see here, written in verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Every person, they're honest, has a God consciousness. Not necessarily that they understand the gospel in Jesus Christ and all of that, but they realize that there is a creator, that there is something more than we are. There is the divine. Every human being has that inside of them. And what's going on here is these pagan cultures, they rejected what God had placed inside of them, and they decided to make their own way. And that's the nature of man. And there are many atheists have been saved in this way. And said, you say there is no God. You have denied. You know from a young age, you knew and you know inside that there is a God. You know, but you deny it. And there's been many soul winners that use this approach. And there have been atheists that look at them in horror and said, how did you know that? And you take them to the Bible because the Bible says it. How did you know? And atheism is not believing there is no God. It is denying the existence of God. So there's a difference. Well, I just don't believe that God doesn't exist. I just believe that he's not there. No, they deny that he exists. They refuse to acknowledge that he exists. There's a difference in that. How do we talk to people like that? Show them the truth. And they have a choice whether they're going to accept it or reject it. To establish God's authority as the law and truth giver. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is very important because they said, well, that's just a man-made book you have. It's not. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 gives a very clear explanation, because guess what? Paul ran into this. Well, this is just your words, your thoughts. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know that the word of God came out in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God were moved, you know, in 1 Peter. That brings us to the third point. I'll be quick. So what does this lead to? What does this lead to today? A warped view of God, which leads to a warped view of the truth, which will lead to a warped view of morality. What we see today, the rest of Romans 1, we see that the complete descent into depravity is the corruption of morality. The view of God goes, then truth goes, then morals go. And that is exactly where our country is right now. Sodomy is rampant, becoming increasingly more rampant, and the number one reason, unfortunately, why people go into this lifestyle, especially women that go into lesbianism, is number one reason is because of abuse. They were sexually abused as a young person, and they go into this lifestyle. Men as well. Some go into it because they, I actually looked it up, and it's just crazy. Anybody that has this view, by the way, we are very much the minority in our culture, that most people believe today, they did a research thing, that most people believe it's inborn in them. It's the definition, medical definition of homosexuality. It is a genetic condition that someone is born to be that way. instead of a choice. The Bible makes it very clear it's a choice, but we're very narrow-minded and very much in the minority. That used to not be the case in America, but because of the cultural programming on your television set and on the internet and in the schools, it's acceptable now. Even Christian people accept it now. Yeah, it's okay. This is what's scary about the generations coming up. My generation, the ones after, you know what they say? And a lot of even independent Baptist churches. Yeah, it's okay. You know, my friend, my family members, yeah, it's okay. You know, maybe it's wrong, but yeah, it's all right. You know, we should let them in church and let them serve in the church, you know. You know, let God reach them. I have no problem. Some churches go to the extreme that they're not allowed even in the services. I'm fine with them visiting, sitting there, but they're not going to be a member of this church. They're never going to serve in this church. By the way, that can get you in legal trouble with different things if you don't have it in your constitution, which we do. But that's where our culture is. The culture's come into the church and corrupted our thinking. Abortion. You know, millions of American citizens. Not only that, but 65 million now. Millions of abortions each and every year. Thankfully, this past year, the abortion rate went down. I guess that's one good thing that came out of COVID. Amen. That abortions didn't take place. Millions of Americans. You know, and this is what's, I understand with the coronavirus, you know, a lot of people are pushing the mask, you know, save lives and things like that. And I understand, I'm not downing that particular part of it. What I am is that people that are abortion activists that say, well, you need to wear a mask, and they condemn people that don't wear masks, you're going to cost lives. You need to wear a mask and save lives. Are the same people that promote killing the baby in the womb. That's how twisted our morals are in our country. That you can be so concerned about wearing a mask to save someone's life, but you have no problem killing a baby. Yeah, you know, what's the difference then between killing a baby outside or inside? That used to be, well, we never do it outside. Hey, it's now in our culture. Yeah, that's okay too. Outside the womb's okay. Old people are next. That's already happening. During this COVID thing, there's been several places that they let it in. It's been viewed that they let it in on purpose to thin out the population in nursing homes. We have twisted morals in our country. Fornication, 60% of couples in America are not married. 60% now. It's going up every year. In 85, now this is what shocked me. Okay, remember what we talked about, 80% of Americans, 18 and older, believe in God in some way, okay? Not even the biblical way. 85% of Americans believe there's nothing wrong with shacking up and living in immorality and sin before marriage. There's nothing. 85% of Americans believe that's okay. Somewhere in there, there's church people. Somewhere in there, there's people that claim to know God. You read the Bible any length of time, you're going to find out that's not okay. We have a serious problem in our country. Remember, 80% of people believe in God, but 85% say, hey, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Messed up morals. Pornography. 92% of boys have viewed pornography before 18. The average age of first exposure is 11 years old. That's 2 years older than Caleb. That's sick. 62% of girls have before 18 years old. 12% of the websites on the internet are devoted to pornography in some way. 12% out of the as millions. We could go on and on and on, but the morals of our country are twisted and corrupted and crooked, and we need to not accept the morals. And we could go into ethics. We can go into a lot of things. But when the view of God is corrupted, when the view of truth is corrupted, then the actions will be corrupted. What is the answer? The truth. God can make that which is crooked straight again. Amen. Because some people, before they got saved, they had crooked morals, they had a crooked view of God, and they had a crooked truth. But guess what? When they came to Jesus, he straightened it all out. He took the lies and showed them the truth. And that's what the light is. Our culture is the result of mankind scratching around in the dark. That's what comes. A crooked view of God, crooked truth. It's all because of darkness. But Jesus is the wonderful light. Need to reach him. Don't need to write them off, say there's no hope for them. There's hope for them if you keep God's word handy. Can't trust in yourself. It's not about psychology. It's not about all these things. It's about the word of God. And if we do it, do we have a burden to reach this culture? Guess what? Nothing in America is ever going to change until a lot of people get saved in America. Nothing's going to ever change. We're not going to see any change. We're just going to get worse and worse and worse until we get serious about bringing people to Jesus and fighting against the culture that we are in right now and fighting against it and presenting the truth. That's why it's so important that we get the truth out there. And what has happened over generations, people have shamed Christians into saying nothing. And when Christians say nothing, the culture changes. The truth is hidden. And that's exactly what they wanted done, and that's exactly what happened. The truth was hidden in public schools. The truth was hidden in our society. Truth was hidden. Christians became more worldly and more like our culture, and they hid their light under a bushel, and now we're in a mess because of that. There's a way out if we're willing to stand up and proclaim the truth like we ought to and take a stand and reach people and share the truth. Do you want to reach this twisted generation and twisted culture? If you are, I pray that you, if you're not, say, oh, I don't really care about it. I pray that you get a burden for lost souls in your heart. If you do, will you pray for the power of God tonight to help you achieve that? Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. I pray that you guide and direct our time. I pray that you put a burning fire in our heart to reach our Jerusalem, to reach those on the outside, in the neighborhoods, down the street, our neighbors, our barracks buddy, whatever the case may be, dear Lord, that we would have a desire to not be discouraged by the beliefs and views of the culture we live in, but, Lord, to stay true to your truth and to proclaim it, dear Lord, and people will be drawn to genuine Christianity. People will be drawn, dear Lord, to your light and your truth, a light to mankind. I pray, dear Lord, that we be faithful to do that. Dear Lord, I pray that you bless our time of invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we rise to our feet tonight, let's all stand together. Maybe tonight there's a family member on your heart that has just hardened themselves against God.